When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm anticipating that this one may be tinged with a touch of irony. Irony in the sense that I'm sharing a Thunder Punch Daily whose main topic is about not sharing. We shall see. That's my hypothesis, my proposed thesis for this. We'll see if I land there. Let's see where this goes. So, today, art journal stuff. I didn't do any artwork. Well, I did do artwork today, but not quote unquote productive artwork. I did a couple, sketches for, of Blue Bunny from the webcomic Star Bunny, Incorporated, which is at starbunny.net. by a buddy of mine, Dave Roman, because I had scheduled weeks ago a trip up to Frankenmuth, Michigan. Now, very briefly, if you haven't heard of Frankenmuth, Michigan, it is this town, how would I put it geographically? It's about an hour and a half north of the Detroit area, and there's not a whole lot of stuff around it, and it's this little tiny German town, and I've actually spoken with friends who moved to the United States from Germany, and they described it as Bavarian Disneyland. It's this funny little town where all the buildings are done up like old-timey Bavaria, and there's neat restaurants, there's neat little shops. It's the place that I go to find the tiny replica meats that my wife and I collect. And if you follow my Instagram feed, you've probably seen at various points in time pictures of the tiny meats that we collect, and which was the inspiration for a couple of mini comics that Ann and I made called Tiny Hamilton, which you can also find by just doing a search for Tiny Hamilton. But anyway, we had this trip scheduled for some time to go up there with some friends, because I hadn't been to Frankenmuth in a long time, and I like to go there at least twice a year. And this time of year, it's especially nice because there's a store there called Bronner's Christmas Wonderland, and it's this Walmart size, this big box store size store dedicated entirely to Christmas stuff. So it's like ornaments, nutcrackers, you know, funny gifts, and it's really hard to describe because it's not a big box superstore like a Costco or a Sam's Club. It's all done up like this chalet, just like covered in Christmas decorations. There's a bunch of really interesting stuff there. Some stuff not so interesting, but lots of really cool stuff. It's a great destination, especially since it's not that far away from where I live. This was building my point that this is the time of year as we enter, you know, we're heading into the holiday season. This is the time of year to go to Bronner's. So getting to my point about not sharing. So I go up there with a couple of friends and my wife, and usually when I go on any kind of outing, even in a day-to-day basis, I usually take a lot of pictures. Last time I checked, I had over like 15,000 photos backed up to Google and Flickr. And I don't always share a lot of those pictures, but I'll take pictures of my food and stuff, but that's only from my memory. You know, it's just like I want to remember all the wonderful meals that I've had with my family and friends. I don't necessarily post them all to Instagram or anything like that. And I don't even know why I'm offering that justification. Here we go back to the justification episode. But I usually take a ton of pictures. And when I got home tonight, I realized I didn't take that many pictures. And I remember expressing some remorse to my wife. I said, oh man, I forgot to take pictures of this. I forgot to take pictures of that. And Anne said, this is so great having somebody close to you in your life who can offer some like clear reflection on what you're saying. She said, well, you were in the present and in the moment. You just enjoyed yourself. You didn't feel like you had to be looking for shareable things. And that was the inspiration for this episode's essay, I guess, is, and it's an old topic, you know, I don't want to place any value judgment on the topic, but it gets passed around every once in a while as people write essays on this idea of, in an age where we are encouraged to share so many things, you know, posting on Twitter, posting on Facebook, posting on lo.co, a million things pop up, a million services pop up, all of them asking you to share what's going on in your life. And that is terrific, isn't it? It's so cool that we got these open channels with which we can connect with people. And many people have said they made friends, like real true friends through these services. I have myself. You know, when I was just in New York last month, I wound up hanging out with a lot of friends whom I've mostly conversed with through these different networks. It's great. Every once in a while, somebody comes along, they write an article, though, about how by recontextualizing their life to look for those shareable moments, is this something that I can post to Twitter? Is this something that I should share on Facebook? They report a sense of disconnection from the moment-to-moment things that happen in life, because instead of responding to, notice I said responding, not reacting. I want to get to that, hopefully. By responding to things in the moment, by not doing that anymore, they're not responding as well. Because with one eye always on, is this a shareable thing, and the other eye on being in the moment, your attention is split. And I can at least say anecdotally that I think I've experienced something similar to this in doing the kinds of podcasting that I've done through Comics Are Great, through Lean Into Art, and so on. Because one of the things I'm doing on the Comics Are Great show specifically is I'm listening. I propose a question to the interviewee or guest on the show, and I'm listening to them, listening to their responses, and I'm seeing if they're addressing the question in the way that I hoped, or answering it in a way that I think is satisfactory to me and the audience for whom I'm advocating. But I'm also looking for how do I follow up on that thought. So my attention is split in a lot of different ways, and as a result, the Comics Are Great show is very, it's intellectually stimulating, but also taxing. Right? It's not like I walk out of there going like, oh my god, I need a towel. It takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of focus to get through that. And I don't feel like, I feel like I do a good job of staying in the moment on the show. I don't feel like I'm fully in the moment the way I would be if I was just having a private conversation, right? There's a bit of a difference there when you bring in this dynamic of advocating for somebody else, speaking on behalf of somebody else, and looking for the things that are useful to other people, right? And I think this kind of relates a little bit to something I've been talking about a lot in the show recently about focus. And one of the things I said about focus is when you're in flow state and you're like fully focused on the project or the task, you're not concerned about the before or the after, meaning you're not concerned about, can I do it? And you're not concerned about, is anybody going to like it? You're just focused on just doing the thing. You're responding to the information, stimulus, task, the responsibilities of that moment, not thinking about anything before or after that moment, right? You're responding in a mindful way, not clouding the moments with what's going to come of this afterwards, right? And I think that's where this is related to looking for those shareable moments and not looking for those shareable moments. And I know that my thinking on this really changed about, I want to say, 4 years ago. And it's been a slow process of slowly incorporating it into a habit for myself. Like I said, today it caught me by surprise, and thankfully Anne was there to remind me of this notion. Because 4 years ago, I want to say 5 years ago now, I was at a Kids Read Comics event. It was at an after party, and people started saying interesting things as we were all hanging out and just talking, and I broke up my phone, and I was like, wait, I want to record that. I want to record what you just said. And a friend said, hey, Jers, why don't you try punching out every once in a while? And at the time, I remember thinking, like, why would I do that? Why would I ever punch out? I got to keep this fire burning, and I got to keep it on all the time. I got to always be looking for the interesting stuff, because that's dynamic. That's useful. That keeps my mind working. And if I ever stop and relax, the mind's not going to work so good anymore. You know, I don't want this thing to atrophy or whatever. Right? This is kind of like this heroism in being always on kind of idea. The very next year, I had same thing. Kids Read Comics ends. I have some of the people who came out to the show, some friends, come over to my house, and we just hang out. And we were just talking about things that we are interested in, like the, what we want out of our comics, what informs our comics, like things that we just find to be fascinating, stuff that we do as hobbies, and everybody sharing all these ideas. And I got so wrapped up in it, and I was so caught up in like the warmth and the intellectual stimulation and all the camaraderie and all the wonderful things that come out of being around people that you really like. And I forgot to break out. Well, actually, I didn't forget. I made a mental note. I'm like, because like I felt that compulsion. I was like, well, I should be capturing some of this. And I thought, you know what? This one's for me. This moment is mine. I want to keep this. And I know I'm never going to forget it. So you sometimes you know, right? Sometimes you know the moments you're not going to forget. And I knew this was one of them. I'm like, I'm gonna keep this one just for me. Nobody else gets in on this except for the people that are in this room. And that was when my thinking started to change in the whole thing. It's like there is a time and a place for a form of intimacy and allowing ourselves to feel intimate. And I don't know if this is something anybody else struggles with. I'm guessing it is. Because I can't be completely alone on this. And because of the fact that so many people write articles about the dehumanizing effect of always looking for moments to share. And this is where we get to that irony. It's like, boy, isn't it funny that I'm talking about like this, like keeping some things to ourselves and enjoying the intimacy, and I'm trying to turn it into some kind of useful reflection. But here's where I get to like justifying the irony of this thing. Because I don't think it's quite as ironic as that. I talked about responding to what is happening in a mindful way. Responding is different than reacting. When you're reacting, I think, you are just trying to... reacting is kind of like putting out fires. Reacting is like, oh, I got to do this now. Let's get this out of the way and move on to the next thing. There's a sense of complete... There's a sense of thinking about what comes next in terms of, I have to get this done in order to do this next thing. Responding is more about, let's put everything else aside. This is the most important thing in my world right now. I'm just going to focus on this. And I think sometimes looking for those shareable moments can be a form of reacting to a thing. You're scanning the room and you're scanning what's happening, going like, what's the useful thing here? Instead of just enjoying it and enjoying the intimacy of being around just a small group of people. Everybody, like when I say intimate, this wasn't between me and one other person. This was between me and a couple, like a handful of people, right? Both the night that I'm speaking of in question of terms of Kids Read Comics and also this afternoon I had in Frankenmuth. We all got to share that, but it didn't need to go any further than that. Not because we were talking gossip or anything, but because, you know, there are times where it's enriching to me as an artist to respond in the moment. But here's where we get to the shareable thing, is that it also occurred to me that I don't want this to be a reaction moment either, where I'm just reacting to things and there's nothing to take away. There is something to take away here. And the takeaway is the essay that I just put together. The essay is a reminder to myself that being mindful is a way to manage my overall energy flow as a creative person, as an artist, and a way to remind me of, to habituate myself to this notion of staying mindful and responding to things rather than reacting to things. So in a way, I guess I'll put it this way. I wasn't looking for this essay this afternoon. I found the essay by accident through just having a conversation with my wife after the fact. Upon reflection of the day, which again is not reacting, it is attending to and responding to. How am I different after today? And why is that? Am I not different? Why is that? And that gets me into the habit of trying to stay more mindful in future events, whether they are something that is worth sharing or whether they're something worth keeping in my own personal brain scrapbook. So, yeah, I think, as I said earlier, this does get written about a lot. And I think the reason it gets written about a lot is because it's something that we just need to remind the people who write the things and the people who say the things like this, myself included, they're reminding themselves aloud. And the reason I share it is because there's probably one or two other people who have kind of chewed on this kind of thing themselves. not to offer a prescription to say, hey, be more mindful and don't share things sometimes. Ugh, that's reacting. Responding is to say, boy, have I ever done that? Can I think of some evidence to support that notion that I have or haven't? And how do I respond to that rather than just reactive? Oh, he said, don't share sometimes. I'll just make sure that on Tuesdays I don't share. You see the difference? I hope you do. I hope I, because if you didn't, that means that I didn't make my point very clear. So who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, comicsaregreat.com, boulderandfleet.com. This show was recorded as part of the Art Sound Off Challenge at artsoundoff.com, where my buddy Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and I have challenged ourselves to record a daily journal, art journal microcast every day for the month of November 2014. And a bunch of other cartoonists have been playing along. You can find their podcast and listen to them by following the hashtag Art Sound Off on Twitter or on Google+, mostly on Twitter. So a lot of great stuff to check out and get a lot of different viewpoints on the things that visual storytellers think about on a day-to-day basis. So I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's episode, Xanthor committed a crime. But when he was given a chance to make up for it, he came through with flying colors. You know, it's important to give our friends a chance to make up for their mistakes. Of course, if they continue to do wrong, we might want to think about whether we really want them for a friend or not. But many wrongdoers do see the error of their ways. All they need is a second chance. Everybody deserves that.